today on Real Radio.
So human is this portion of Scripture, so powerful, and yet so divinely led that it should be an encouragement to every one of us today.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section toward the beginning of chapter 7, where the apostle seems to open up his heart a bit. Paul expresses mixed emotions about what he said in his previous letter to those believers at Corinth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, What Love Is This?
We're looking at a message this morning that is extremely emotional. Maybe not for you, maybe not for me. I think if we meditated on it more, it would be. But it's a message that is filled with dynamic and with emotion and with thought. And so it should be. It's an amazing thing. And so by way of introduction into this section of Scripture, as we talk about this love that is exhibited through the apostle, I want you to write down a couple of verses by way of introduction. But let me set the stage. Do you remember that in 1 Corinthians, the book we studied before 2 Corinthians, the apostle had written to the church at Corinth, and he said things to them like, well, I'll tell you what, let me read it like this. Mark it down, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said to them, he wrote to them this, verse 1. He says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. Watch this. That's a smack. I wanted to talk to you guys as spiritually mature people, but I couldn't. I had to talk to you guys as fleshly believers, like as to babes in Christ. In other words, you should have been mature, but you've been babies in your growth. Smack again. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are unable to receive it. Smack. And even now you are still not able. Smack, smack. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal? And behave like mere men. He's saying to them, you're acting like people who are of the world. You're Christians. What are you doing? For verse 4, for one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Smack. He's rebuking them strongly. And if that wasn't enough, there was the gross misconduct of the church that he mentions in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 1, he said, is it actually reported there that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even practiced or named among the Gentiles, the unbelievers, that a man has his father's wife. That is, this is a son has his dad's wife, stepmother. And you're puffed up, you're arrogant about it, and have not rather mourned. He really lets them have it, and so he should have. He really laid it on them. Not to mention things like in 1 Corinthians that you guys come to the communion table. They were coming together and they were having all of the poor people who didn't have any food, they were left out. And all the people who had money had food. And they would have food and they would also have drink. And they would get drunk. They would get drunk drinking and come to the communion service. And Paul says, what are you doing? Unbelievable. You've come to the Lord's table in an unworthy fashion. And he goes after them. He wrote a strong letter to them in 1 Corinthians and rebuked them and corrected them about their craziness to operate the gifts of the Spirit. He says, you know, it's great. You guys have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but you conduct them in a crazy way, out of control. And he rebukes them. 1 Corinthians, yes, it's known as a tremendous book because it has that chapter of love in it. You know, we all know that chapter of love. But it's filled with strong, godly rebuke. He speaks to them like a father to a wayward child. And he rebukes them. And so he should. So keep that in mind. Watch this. He writes, Titus takes the letter And about a year now earlier goes and heads off to Corinth with the letter. Paul is now still involved in ministry life. He starts thinking now, after the letter is written and en route, that knowing by now they must have gotten it, he starts being filled, listen everybody, he starts being filled now with thoughts of regret, thoughts of maybe I shouldn't have written it. You know what's amazing to me? I want you to get this down. This is amazing to me. The apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, divinely moved by God, writes the Corinthian letter, which we will know later here in our study, was exactly what God had inspired to be written, but Paul's humanity comes out. Have you ever had that happen in your life? Maybe I shouldn't have said that to them. Listen, I'm not joking right now. I have that every Wednesday night and every Sunday afternoon. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I was too harsh on them. Or maybe I shouldn't have used that verse. Maybe they've taken it wrong. It's one of the plagues, I think, certainly of being in ministry. And it's certainly a plague like of being a parent. Maybe I shouldn't have said it that strong. Things like that. And Paul is now filled with what we would say second thoughts in his humanity. And I want you to remember that as we look to this. So human is this portion of Scripture. So powerful and yet so divinely led that it should be an encouragement to every one of us today. Oh, I love this. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 7, now beginning at verse 2. Open your hearts to us, he writes. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts. The word means embedded, embossed. If you could have a scar on your heart, Paul would say, I have the scar of the Corinthians upon my very heart. To die together and to live together. So close we are. Listen, verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. We'll hear why in a moment. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Titus returns to Paul now. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, here's the effect of 1 Corinthians, the letter. Earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. Verse 8, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, 1 Corinthians, I did not regret it, though I did regret it. Do you hear him? Sounds nuts, huh? It's not nuts. I knew I was doing the right thing, but after I licked the envelope and put the stamp on it and sent it away, the inspiration of God now finished with me for the moment. I kind of shrieked back from it. And in the flesh, I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Oh, this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Three passages of scriptures you've got to write down, church. You got to write these down. This is amazing. This is awesome. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is regarding the sufficiency and the authority of the Bible, God's word. I have no authority. You and I have no authority in spiritual matters apart from the Word of God. But if we conduct ourselves in the Word of God, in love, obedient to the Lord, with love for one another, then the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture comes through God's servants, of which you and I are. We are the instruments. So watch this. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, what scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning the Bible was breathed by God. God breathed. That's why to this very moment in the 21st century, there is no errors in the Bible in the original language. Nobody can boast that but you. That's awesome. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, Paul did all these things with the church at Corinth, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What a tremendous statement. That was Paul's heart in delivering 1 Corinthians, the letter, to the church there in Greece. Now, here's another passage, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, that is the revelation of Scripture, is of any private interpretation. Keep it on the screen. This is what it means. Don't let anyone ever tell you. Are you listening? I read it, but this is what the verse means to me. This is very popular today. I've heard ministers of the gospel say, you know, pray about that verse and see what it means to you. That is situational theology, not biblical theology. You don't apply a private meaning to the scripture. None of us are allowed to do that. So look, no scripture is given of any private interpretation. For prophecy, that is the revelation of God's word, never came by the will of man, but holy men, that is separated men, like Paul, for example, of God, spoke as they were moved or possessed by the Holy Spirit. Third and final challenge to this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This is all of the sufficiency and the authority of the scriptures, which Paul is going to talk to us about here in a moment. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful. The Bible's alive. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents or intentions of the heart. That's your Bible. This thing is awesome. It is divinely inspired. It is the revelation of the will of God. And when this is in the hands of a useful tool, you and I, God can do great things with it. But it will not always feel good, because there will be times of doctrinal instruction when your emotions do not agree with the doctrine. What are you supposed to do about that? When you hear doctrine taught that you emotionally don't agree with, the Bible tells us that we are to divorce ourselves from our emotions and submit to the authority of God's word. You do that, I do that. This trumps us. And the Bible says it's for instruction, meaning how to live our lives. What should I do about this? What should I do about that? Oh, I heard this about gossip, or I heard this about a decision I need to make, or I heard this about sickness or about healing, or what. You know what you do? You go to the Bible and you be instructed by God's inerrant, holy, all authoritative word. And reproof. The Bible is the sole authority that rebukes or reproves our lives. The Bible tells us when we're wrong about something and we need to repent of it, or when we need to change our conduct. It's very powerful. So in our study today, look at this. What love is this? Number one, it's a love that cares about your thoughts. Will you write that down, verses 2 and 3? It's a love that cares about your thoughts. And by this, I mean the thoughts based on what you see. He's talking about the Corinthians, but the Bible is alive for us today. He's talking about us. Thoughts based on what you see. Very important, verse 2. He says to them, open your hearts to us. What is he saying to them? We've wronged no one. We've corrupted no one. We've cheated no one. This is the background. Paul had been earlier collecting offerings, listen to this, from churches that he was visiting in Europe. This is recorded in the book of Acts. He was collecting offerings with his ministry team to take back to, listen to this, to take back to the church at Jerusalem that was starving to death. Do you guys remember in the book of Acts when it first opens up how the Bible says they all sold what they had everything in common, and everybody took out of the pot equally the same? Did y'all know about that? You know, that was very sweet for them to do, but did you know God didn't tell them to do that? For some reason, the Jerusalem believers thought, let's just have things all communal. We'll all sell everything that we have. We'll put all the money into one pot, and everybody will pull from it equally. That was good intentions, but God didn't tell them to do that. Guess what happens? That form of communalism, they wound up starving to death in Jerusalem. So the churches in Europe had to collect money to take it back to the church in Jerusalem to feed them. They were poverty-stricken. And so Paul was sending money back to the church in Jerusalem. And the Judaizers, the false brethren, they were telling the Corinthians, hey, did Paul ask for any money? Yeah, he did. Yeah, did he tell you it was for the hurting church in Jerusalem? Yeah, he did. He put it in his own pocket. He lined his own robes with that stuff. And this was the shenanigans that was being spread about Paul and his ministry team. That's why he opens up with this verse. He's challenging them. Consider what love you saw when we came to Corinth. We didn't rip you off. Consider what you saw. Consider how we conducted ourselves. Consider what example we had before you. Listen, Christian, you know this in your own family. You stand for Jesus, you're going to be maligned. You stand for Jesus, you're going to be misrepresented. You stand for Jesus, Satan will hate your guts. And I would love to have enemies like that if you stand for God. Misrepresentation, that's one of the most painful things of all, isn't it? When you're misrepresented. When you did something and somebody says, oh, that hurts. Paul was hurt. And now he's saying to them, open up your hearts. We've opened up our lives to you. Open up your hearts to us. And he challenged them. He takes the gauntlet, as it were, and throws it down right in front of them, so to speak. And he says, I want you to understand something. What did you see? We were open. The word means, and he's challenging them to be open. Make space for us. Make an area for us to be back into your heart. When he says, we've wronged nobody, we didn't conduct ourselves unjustly. Paul is saying this, open your eyes, Corinthians, and our ministry is completely open to all of you. Go through our itinerary. Follow with us. Get on a donkey. Go with us through that region of Greece. See how we live. I love that. Look at the power that's in that, is it not? That will shut the mouth, by the way, of your critics, kind of. Right? I mean, in this day and age, you can throw something on the internet and it can look true. It's funny. Something on the internet looks true. Isn't that demonic? It doesn't have to be true. It looks true. And people begin to believe it. Well, it's on the internet. Must be true. Thank God Paul didn't have the internet back then. Corrupt, he says, we've corrupted no one. That word means we didn't bring any rottenness in among you. We didn't bring a stink bomb among you. We've introduced no poison. And then he says, we've cheated nobody. The word means we have had no covetous attitude that we've been accused of. We've defrauded no one. The book of James, chapter 3, verse 13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? That's a great question. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Watch. The second thing is, what love is this that cares about your very thinking, your very thoughts in a ministry church dynamic? Thoughts based on what you hear. Look at verse 3. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts. He's saying to them, I want you to be thinking about what you've heard from us. This is a beautiful, strong parental declaration from the apostle. He's saying to them, I want you to understand something, what I'm talking about. You should be convicted by the Holy Spirit in what I just said in verse 2. And he's assuming, this is huge faith in God. He's saying, I'm assuming, trusting actually completely, that what I just said in verse 2, the Holy Spirit is convicting you about and bringing to that place of saying, maybe we've misjudged Paul or we were too hard on Paul. Look, I don't know what it is. We're all guilty of it, all of us. But there's some strange thing in the human nature, even among Christians, that there's a reveling or a relishing when a spiritual leader stumbles, trips up, or falls. It shouldn't be the case because it gives all of us a black eye. But there's a devilish part to it, that when some great leader trips up or falls, it gives your flesh a little bit of justification to not have to put away the stuff that you may be tolerating. Are you with me? Do you understand that? It's a very, very terrible thing of our human nature. Were they hoping that this stuff was true about Paul? It's possible. Emotionally, he had really challenged them. Theologically, he really nailed them. It was all true, and he loved them. He loved them so much, church, he told them the truth. Could it be that they had a little bit of a self-justification to not listen to that conviction when they thought he was maybe a con artist? And yet he counters and says, examine our lives. Open up your heart and find space for us. And hear this, I do not say these things to condemn you. For I've said you have been embossed, stamped. I have a tattoo, he would say, on my heart. Think about how cute this is. If Paul, in a cartoon version, could grab his robe, tear his robe open, and there's his heart exposed, it would have been to the Corinthians with a little rose on the end. He loved them. In Acts chapter 18, listen to this. In Acts 18, verse 1, it says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. Skipping down to verse 9, Acts chapter 18. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. This is what Jesus said to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. You ought to circle that. Do not be afraid, but speak. Do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. That's remarkable. Verse 11, and he, Paul, continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among the Corinthians. This is his first visit there. This is so cool. God tells Paul in a vision, don't be afraid. Why did God say that to Paul? The answer is he was afraid. Doesn't that encourage you? Ladies and gentlemen, the apostle in Corinth, the man of God, was afraid. And Jesus appears to him in a vision and says, Paul, don't be afraid. The second thing is, Paul hadn't done much preaching yet. The ministry was just getting started. And the Lord says to him, I've got many people in this city. This is an amazing statement. We need to hear this. And I need to be reminded of this. God is saying, hey, church at Chino Hills, buck up. Be strong. Get going. You want to know why? Why, Jesus? Because we're really scared. Because I have many people in this city that need to get saved. Notice, he says, I've got people. We don't know who they are yet. Jesus knows who they are. And he says, you guys who, you've got salvation? Awesome. Get out there. Go to Eastvale. Go to Ontario. Go to Yorba Linda. Go to Fullerton. Go to Anaheim. Go to Diamond Bar. Get out there. Go to industry. Get out there. No, I'm scared. Don't be scared. There's a lot of those people out there that are mine, and they're just waiting. They don't even know it yet, but they're waiting to bump into you in that divine appointment that I will set up. And when you bump into them, tell them about me and watch what happens. Get the net. Reel them in. The boat's going to overflow. He knows what he's doing. It's not for us to dilly-dally around with the outcome of our sharing. We've just been told to share. The outcome is of God. Well, what if people say no? What if they say no? They're going to say no. The outcome, their decision's not for us. Look, we may share Jesus with our neighbors or strangers and share 10 times with people who say no. And listen, there's that 11th person. And don't be surprised if the Lord says to you, hey, don't be afraid.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What Love Is This? It's a study taken from a section toward the beginning of chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. What Love Is This? Is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you subscribed to the Real Life with Jack Hibbs channel on YouTube? Thousands of folks have already done it. You'll see all kinds of studies and lessons and presentations. In fact, you're notified each time a new video is posted if you set the account up that way. Now, if you've ever subscribed to a YouTube channel, you know how easy it really is. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs channel on YouTube. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and scroll down to the bottom and click YouTube, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs channel on YouTube. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll be right back. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.